Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for anointing this and blessing it to the ears of all listening. And we praise you and we thank you. Amen. So, I think we'll talk about false and true ministers. We're going to start out with a revelation called Discerning False Prophets. Some of these are very good, I'm going to share with you. All right. J.N. got this. I dreamed I was in a class with several other pupils. We were in this big room, which looked rather like a gymnasium. And I remember thinking and missing my friends from other classes who I remembered were long gone away. David Eels was our teacher, and I was standing next to him. And I believe this is a type of the David Benchild Reformer body. David was telling me that the previous night there was a party at his next-door neighbor's house, and he didn't get much sleep. And I believe this is probably pointing towards God's people giving in to lasciviousness while truly, they have truly caused conscientious leaders loss of sleep, no doubt. He was casually dressed like a sports teacher or a trainer. Well, we have to train the people of God to get in shape for the contest to come. The tests to come, right? Since I was seeing his profile, I noticed that he was wearing a patch of a piece of wool over his nose, like he had a nose job, or even more, it looked to me like something he was wearing to filter the air that he was breathing. This nose filter, I believe, represents the ability to discern and separate good from evil. The nose gives discernment to the mind that is neither seen nor heard. Wool over the nose represents having the true clothing or actions of sheep, which filter out the false spirits, which is the meaning of breath in the Hebrew. The next thing I remember was a tall man entering the room, accompanied by a woman. The tall man is seen in many dreams as the larger body of the corporate false prophet and his companion, the harlot church. The Bible doesn't teach that there is one person called the false prophet. It teaches there are many false prophets, okay? And this is a picture of a corporate body. So they were dressed in suits and looked to me like teachers. The man came and was standing next to me, and I knew that they were there to acquire some pupils for themselves. Well, they will seek through lasciviousness, meaning a license to excess, to draw aside disciples of Christ for their own aggrandizement. I tried to ignore him since I could tell what his intentions were, and then he pointed his finger at me, and I looked around for David but couldn't see him. We're going to face temptation alone, friends. We have to learn to stand, right, and do what's right. I turned to the man and looked at his face for the first time. He was so tall, almost all the way up to the ceiling. In other words, a large corporate body. I remembered feeling the pain in my neck as I was struggling to look at his face. Well, his great size represents a corporate body of people. He was nicely groomed, curly haired, and had bright gray, watery eyes. In other words, they tend to see things in gray, not black or white, as in wrong or right. Being determined, I told him that I was not going with him, because David was my teacher. As I was saying these words, I was getting weak. I remember being hardly able to say that last word, teacher, but I succeeded. He looked shocked and very offended, because obviously he had the authority to choose from the class as he liked. And he looked at the woman, which we believe is the harlot, with disbelief. He looked back at me, trying to put some smile on his angry face, and then I woke up. Well, you know, people who have this anointing actually, you know, overcome people. And that's the way it looks here. It's an attempt to overcome in the spirit realm through demonic forces, right? So J.N.'s name means victory. Although tempted, he obviously represents those who gain the victory over the false prophet and the harlot because of his training in discernment. And we're told that the word exercises our senses to discern good from evil. Hebrews 5:12. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And so this next revelation we call true and false leadership. Seen. This is Jan Albayalde. I dreamed these two dreams back to back on 8/28/2007. This one is called the fasting dream. I was sitting in the front row of a huge church that was the true church of the Lord Jesus. The church was very plain, with white walls and a little wood trim, but nothing ornate or stained glass. A man I don't know walked to the podium to address the people. He was a small man in stature, almost frail. He said just a couple of words, called forward a large man who was about his same age, around 45. Had him face the crowd and began to introduce him. Suddenly, the man at the podium fell on the floor, weeping under the presence of God. At the same time, the man standing to be introduced, who was a Jew wearing a business suit with an azure blue shirt, was also filled with the Spirit and began speaking in tongues. This man was slightly overweight, let's say hardy, with a rosy, robust complexion. He had a lot of snow-white hair, so much that I'm sure the Lord wanted me to notice. In other words, it was very high on his head, right? I rushed forward to help the man on the floor, but before I got to him, as I passed the man speaking in tongues, I became filled with the Spirit and fell on my knees and began worshiping God. A man in the congregation, a man I do know as pastor of a local church here, came forward, looked at the man weeping on the floor, the Jew speaking in tongues and me worshiping, and said, This is what happens when you fast and pray. This man on the floor had been in a long fast before the Lord, seeking the face of God, and is why the power and the glory of God is falling. Unquote. An interesting thing about the dream, the man at the podium who had been fasting and fell weeping on the floor was dressed in a suit as he stood, but when I rushed forward to help him, as I fell to my knees under the anointing, I saw he was naked. Okay, a little bit of interpretation here. The man standing behind the pulpit was fasting to weaken the old outer man, and so he fell. He was small because the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. The one introduced represented the new inner man because he had gained what the outer man had lost. He stood in the fast and had a lot of perfectly white hair, meaning much submission to holiness. And as in 1 Corinthians 11:10, the hair is a sign of submission to authority. He had a blue shirt representing heavenly works. He is the spiritual man because he spoke the words of the Spirit and is a spiritual Jew because he is circumcised in heart, not in flesh. Fasting is so that the old man who is naked because he is not dressed up with the works of Christ can be removed, so that the new man who is dressed up with Christ in his heavenly works would face the congregation. Romans 13:12-14. This is a good exhortation for the coming new church leadership to deny feeding self and pray so that Christ through them can minister to his people. Amen. Amen. The snake dream. Immediately after the above dream, I dreamed this. I was in my spirit looking down over an orchard of pure white trees, which represents the true church. A huge green snake with huge muted splotches of black along its body appeared at the edge of the grove of white trees. From this point, I no longer saw the trees. My focus was on the snake. Next, the snake turned totally blue. Then the snake turned totally black. And that was the end of the dream. Well, I believe the green snake is the false leadership of the church or the false prophet. In Acts 16:16, the spirit of false prophecy or divination is translated in Greek as a spirit apithon. It is green because it is the natural man ministering and not the spiritual. He stands outside of the white or holy trees, but not in their midst, for he is not holy. And the black splotches represent their works of darkness, which are plainly seen. His turning blue as a chameleon represents deception, in that he is attempting to be seen as heavenly, but he serves the, I would say, black or darkness, and will be seen that way. So God is raising up a new leadership for the true church that refuses to feed the flesh, typed by fasting, and the old leadership will be plainly seen for what it has been all along. They will bring a great persecution against the holy, as it was with the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They were, of course, playing church and, you know, seeking ego, right, rather than truth. So this revelation next is we call Man-Child Separates False Brethren. This was given to Ron Shaw. In a dream on 7/13/10, I heard an audible voice. It said, "It's time for Isaiah 11 and to rid the land of the Palestinians," unquote. I woke up but didn't see anyone. The reference to the Palestinians is not to the physical people in the Middle East, but to that spirit that is operating here against Christians. As they work against Israel, so in spirit here against the saints, so to speak. The Palestinians were children of Abraham through Ishmael and were considered brothers to the Israelis. So again, we're using this as types, right? The Israelis being the saints here. In like shadow, there are Christians who are Christians, and there are Christians who are Palestinians, making war on their brethren while claiming to be the promised seed and owners of the land. Like terrorists and like Judas, they hate and attack their brethren by stealth from darkness. This, along with the types of Jesus as the man-child, shows him separating the false brethren from the saints by his word. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword," meaning separation. Verse 35. "For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own house." No, in other words, when you get saved, suddenly there's a different spirit there, and it's obvious. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So we see here that the man-child will separate those who refuse to lose their old life from the true disciple of Christ. And they will separate the tares from among the wheat. Their word is a sword. So the following night, I dreamed we were being divided up into different tribes, and there was such joy, and this would come soon. Just as the spiritual tribe of Judah, with its bride, Jerusalem, is being chosen now, so are the rest of the tribes. The names of the 12 tribes applied spiritually to the church identify them by their nature and works. So how does Isaiah 11 rid the land of spiritual Palestinians? Well, in the very beginning, which is the beginning of the tribulation, we see that the man-child comes forth. Isaiah 11:1, "And there shall come forth a shoot," that was David in the natural, which is a type for the future, of course, "out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots. Jesus is the root, and those who have abided in him are the roots. The branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. So Jesus said in Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David. And he is the root below in verse 10. And here we see that his text is speaking of a branch out of David's roots that will bear fruit. This speaks of the first fruits corporate body to come out of the roots. And this branch is the man child who is spoken of in Jeremiah's chapters 23 and 33, whose corporate name is, quote, Jehovah our righteousness, unquote. Our. You should underline our here, because it talks about, in both texts, our identifies them as a corporate body of people. Clearly. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. So judgment also will come out of this man-child body. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So that's explaining what we were talking about before. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. So this corporate body looks so much like Jesus because he lives in them by his fruit and word. He will minister to the whole earth through them to raise up the church. He will have the latter rain power to judge the earth and separate the tares. So you can see he could be the one who judges the Palestinians, right? Or what is typed as Palestinians. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That's the man-child. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. So these beastly animals, types of people, by the way, are going to be turned to friendly to it toward each other. And of course, we know that the kingdom does this to people from all different backgrounds, all different natures that have been passed down through the parents and so on. So, they won't hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, the man-child's truth and anointing will bring unity and peace between the Gentile beasts who normally bite and devour one another. Galatians 5:15. Who were sanctified according to the Lord. And Acts 10:11, and he beholdeth the heaven open, and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet, let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and of creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean." And a voice came unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. So these beasts obviously represent the unsaved, unclean Gentiles at that time, as revealed later in the text. Verse 28, "And he said unto them, Ye yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. And yet unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean." So the beasts are the church, whom the Lord will cleanse of their beastly natures. I had a vision of these beasts saved back in 2007, and we called it UBM, Refuge from the Storm. It was a vision about the beasts all coming to peace on the refuge. Verse 10, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse that standeth for the ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious." Oh, yes, and so many people will come to rest and not be fighting with one another as the beasts do, you know. This is a promise of a wonderful revival. The nations of Christians are seeking rest in Jesus, right? Verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall remain." In other words, a great revival of those giving up their beastly heritage to follow Christ. Those that remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. So the Lord will use the body of the son of David / man-child to save the beastly from among the nations. Praise God. Verse 12, "And he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." In other words, once again, the beasts will not act like beasts anymore, right? So the non-spirit-filled northern 10 tribes will cease warring with the spirit-filled who have the temple of his presence. You understand that when they split from Judah, they didn't have a temple with the presence of God, and the non-spirit-filled people are basically being typed here. "And they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together shall they despoil the children of the east. They shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them." So these who warred against their ancient brother can become brothers when born again. And many, including Palestinians themselves, believe that they are descendants of the Philistines. The word Palestine means land of the Philistines. But many Palestinians are Arabs from Ishmael and descendants of Abraham. So it's possible that they are a mixture. Alexander the Great conquered the Philistine cities and sold at least some of them into slavery. And later, Arabs conquered the Byzantines, who ruled over Palestine. Jesus taught that it is the Spirit that giveth life, the flesh profits nothing. So it matters not what our flesh is, what tribe we came from, but who lives in it, right? Amen. We're not to know any man after the flesh, but who lives in them, right? Verse 15, and the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his scorching wind will he wave his hand over the river, and will smite it into seven streams, and cause men to march over dry shod. Well, the word of the Lord will judge Egypt as a type of the world. But the man-child, as it was with Moses, and deliver God's people from bondage. So, verse 16, and there shall be a highway. I would say this is talking about the highway of holiness, separation from the world, the worldly, the beastly, so on and so forth. For the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria, which is the beast, like as there was for Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so what's happened to them is a type and a shadow is what is happening to us, right? Amen. So we call this one, beware of the false man-child ministers. This was given to Eve Brast. In a dream, my husband and I went to visit David for 3 days. He lived in a small wooden shack to the right and behind a large white mansion with Roman pillars in front of the porch. The revived Roman Empire, I believe, is being shown here. One World Order Harlot Church. You know, the Babylonish church, right? He had a long gravel driveway leading back to his shack. He looked like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, except he wore some faded blue jeans, a faded yellow T-shirt, and an old worn-out red flannel shirt over it. Well, I think David is an end-time type of the man-child Moses and Jesus who came in humble surroundings and fashion and were very much obscured by the worldly church of their day. The large white mansion, the things that have been shall be, right? There's some big mansions out there, church mansions, you know. But simplicity was what the Lord chose and his disciples chose, not to be distracted by the world, right? So on the first day, my husband and I were going to sell our only last possession, an old rusted red and yellow station wagon. And I believe this represents the old way under the curse. With a chrome luggage rack on the top and in the driveway of the mansion and give the money to UBM. But David came up and said, I can restore that for you if you want. Well, we're looking for the restoration. We believe a restoration is coming. The Reformer Ministries will restore the simple original way, which looks very different from the lavish mansions of the worldly prosperity-minded church. So we agreed, and he pulled out a large sander and polisher and ground the old car down into what looked like a yellow nylon rug. I'm thinking this means restoring the walk of the sun, SUN/SON, right? And then it slowly built itself back up into a brand new mint condition 1950s station wagon. The old way. Look behind you. It's the old way, right? So, and that means, of course, the original way. So, the David Manchild Ministries are reformers to restore the way to travel in, the old paths or ways of Scripture, which the prosperous apostate church has cast aside for many generations. Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein," and of course they have, Isaiah 58 and 12, "and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Yes. So Jude 1 and 3 in the numeric says this, "Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints." Of course, we want the original faith. We were warned at the end of the book not to add to or take away from it. So we must get back to it. And of course, that was under penalty of a curse. So the scene then changed, and I was holding sound equipment in the corner of a room in a white wooden house across the street that belonged to UBM. Still looking like Charlton Heston, David came in and said, "There's a guy who will be coming in, and he is the enemy. He tries to look like me and talk like me and imitate my ministry." Well, I have seen these fakes who steal my words and revelations to make disciples of themselves, just as Pharaoh's magicians copied the works of Moses up to a point. 1 Timothy 3 and 6, "For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women," I'm thinking this is talking about local apostate bodies, "laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." This really does describe the old order churches, right? "And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be." Well, I was holding a black pole in my left hand that arched out with a black foam-covered microphone on the end, a boom mic, like reporters use in a crowd to to pick up sound from the person that everyone is trying to interview. In my right hand, I held a two-way walkie-talkie so that David and I were in constant communication, and he could hear everything the imposter was saying and give me advice and instructions. So this device also recorded what the imposter was saying. I was also wiretapped, like someone working undercover with law enforcement to catch a criminal. David said, quote, "Just be real, still, and faithful about holding that sound recording equipment," unquote. So the bride has recorded in her memory the sayings of the apostate leadership for God to contrast them with the teachings of the true David ministries. No one knows what is wrong with Babylon any better than those who have passed through it, right? Then you know, oh, that's it, right? So David said, quote, "You will be fine. Don't worry. I will be right outside this window next to you," unquote. He left and went out around the outside of the house and was fixing a hole in the window screen with some needle-nose pliers. A darker-skinned man, symbolizing walking in darkness, came into the room and went over to the other window screen, imitating David, and began fixing the hole in that screen. Well, fixing holes in screens is to keep out of the curse of flies. Beelzebub is the lord of the flies, or the demons. The imposter only started to fix the screen, but they cannot keep the demons out because they're already in them. So he was really close to me, and I was frozen holding the equipment. He looked like a Hispanic Charlton Heston, a fake alien, in other words. He had black hair and a beard, symbolizing submission to darkness, 1 Corinthians 11, 10, and 15. He was dressed the same as David, bragging about how he could do everything David Eales could do and better. But he was railing in my face about it and bragging like a drunk how he had restored toy guns in the same manner that you had restored our old car. Okay. So the imposters are full of pride and selfish ambition to impress others, to gain a following, of course. But this fruit reveals their true nature. The toy guns are for show, but have no power against a real enemy. And Satan doesn't cast out Satan or destroy his own works, but puts on a good show of doing this, and his imposters, as in the false revivals. So David was on the other window screen outside saying, uh-huh, and really? In response to his tirade. And when he realized that David was there outside the window, and that I, Eve, was recording him, he was furious and stomped out of the room. So, it gets around, doesn't it? The David ministries will discover who these people are, who are covertly attempting to deceive Eve like the serpent did, right? Eve was the wife of Adam, who represents here a type of the bride to the last Adam, Jesus, who will dwell in the Davids by word and spirit. So David came back into the room, sat down on the empty floor with the pair of pliers still in his right hand, and said, "Did you hear all that?" I nodded in silence, and he asked, "What are we going to do about this guy?" Unquote. He was tired and perplexed and shook his head. This man was causing problems for UBM that David had never encountered before. And after this dream, in 2008, these false apostles came to us, one after another, starting around 2010. And we always hope to see the good in God's people, but we tried these men and found them false. Revelation 2 and 2, of course, this was practice and training, right? In Revelation 2 and 2, I know thy works and thy toil and patience, and that thou canst not bear evil men, and didst try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and didst find them false. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, going through this trial has sharpened, of course, our eyesight to recognize these fakes. They're usually pretty proud and pretty braggadocious, you know, like this one was, right? So the second day, I was sitting in an eye exam office in the den of David's shack behind the mansion. I was sitting behind and to the right of an angelic being with short brown hair and extremely large muscles, who was dressed in a white lab coat. David was facing me as he sat on an exam chair, and I was sitting in the maroon chair. And this was my chair for a lot of teachings that we did. Eve's perspective is from one who sees and understands with the renewed mind of the true gospel. I was relaxing in the chair and watching him get his eyes examined by this angel. A large magnifying glass appeared in front of his left eye, and it became extremely large. I was leaning forward in his maroon chair and really looking hard to see what about his eyes the angel was examining. It seemed like David was amused at my curiosity, because I was like a child who was really looking hard at something. His eye behind the magnifying glass then smiled at me in response. His eyes were crystal clear, and the sky blue, and so large under that glass that it seemed as if I looked long enough, someone could see right into his soul. I became embarrassed at his amusement at me and quit looking before I could see that far into his being. Then the same thing happened with the other eye. Well, the crystal clear eyes of the man-child reformers, and seeing into the soul implies no demonic activity, since many see demons in the eyes of those who have them. The sky blue eyes represent heavenly vision, such as comes from behind the veil in the temple in the man-child Melchizedek priesthood. Large eyes represent much discernment that is not normally seen. Okay, the Melchizedek priesthood, of course, is Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. That means there was an order that went on. And, of course, Jesus is coming in the man-child to be that again. It's Jesus, right? So the bride desires to look into these things, which will be to the delight of the man-child ministries. The angel then commanded, to my mind and to David's, without talking, take 7 days off for each eye. So the left eye suggests discernment of evil, and the right discernment of good, such as is seen in Jesus' ministry. A yellow and pink triplicate form then appeared in front of David without the white copy on top. The angel kept the white copy, and David got up and went and put the triplicate form on his dining room table. 7 days is the number of entering into the rest from our own works through faith. But the Davids will rest every day from their own works for good insight, as the New Testament commands. And the one in charge of any transaction keeps the original copy. And God is in charge of bringing to pass in his Davids the completed rest from man's works, which will bring discernment to look into a man's soul as Jesus had. This shack had no bedrooms. Well, I believe this indicates that this parable is not speaking of a physical rest, but the spiritual rest, from our own works, right? So then on the third day, I was sitting in David's little living room inside his shack. Morning of the third thousand year day, I believe, the third day, right? When Hosea 6, 2 and 3 says, "The Lord will come as the latter rain, and this will be first in his David man-child ministries, as the former rain anointing came first to Jesus." So it's a type and a shadow that's being fulfilled. History always repeats, right? So he was doing one of the Bible studies, and there was a woman to my left with a bobbed, blondish, streaked hairstyle. Well, the short hair represents lack of submission to the husband, as in 1 Corinthians 11. And the unnatural coloring of hair symbolizes submission to various spirits that are not natural to God's people. She was his wife in this dream, but very bossy, harping, and controlling of the conversation. Well, his wife, I believe, means she was receiving of his seed, representing his word. But initially, there is not complete submission because of ignorance. But for some, this will change. All of the disciples were first in their apostate knowledge until the word changed them. So it's a gradual change, right? We give people time to grow up Some people won't bear fruit. They won't submit, as that woman wouldn't, right? So she was interrogating me to spit out what I saw in the eye exam and what was told to us. Jezebel is antagonistic and persecuting towards what the true bride sees in the Davids. Jezebels have always rebelled and spoken against true leadership. That's their job. There was another tall, thin man, about 6'4" in a tan plaid western shirt and some blue jeans, wearing a dark blue ball cap. He had messy black oily hair and an untrimmed black goatee. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, but I knew something wasn't right, and they were there to bring chaos to UBM. So this is a spiritual picture of the same false prophets who attempt to lead away the people from the true path. And they are thin, meaning undernourished in the Word of God themselves, right? The goatee pictures of Satan as the head of the goats, since he is seen as the head of a goat in Satanism. The tan plaid shirt represents the many different works of these men, none of which is as white as the bride's garment. The oily black hair and dark blue ball cap represent submission to the spirits of darkness. 2 Peter 2:1. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So when you want to talk about a corporate body, notice it says, there will arise false Christs and false prophets, plural. That's exactly what's happening, and not this individual that shows up who is called the false prophet or called, you know, anything else. So then this woman who was David's spiritual wife made us all go outside. The disciples who were just freed from their sectarian denominations began to form another denomination. And Jesus corrected them. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. But Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against you is for you. And Paul declared that denominations or sects are a work of the flesh. Like the harlot church in Israel was led by their false prophets to excommunicate their appointed husband, Jesus, and his disciples, so the end time Jezebel will excommunicate the David ministries and disciples in whom Jesus lives. Israel was supposed to receive the seed of the Son of God through David's seed, and now the church is to receive the seed of the Son of God through David's corporate man-child seed. Then we rode bicycles around his shack with him in the lead on a red bicycle. Bicycles represent balance and progress, since you must keep moving only forward and stay balanced in the Word. And the red bicycle represents a path washed in the blood. He seemed to be unaware of the danger that these two people posed to UBM. They took advantage of his tiredness and were taking charge of things. Well, notice that false prophets shall arise, quote unquote, and may not be apparent at first, just as Judas was hidden among the disciples, as he has been among us, but they were revealed by dreams and visions and so on. And Jesus knew Judas, as will the David Manchild ministers know Judas, right? The Judases will manifest as the treasonous traitors and thieves that they are. Okay, another one given to Eve, a false and true wedding rehearsal. In a dream, I was standing with my mom and looking down from a high balcony of a hotel, which, as we've said before, is like a church. Individual houses all put together into one holy temple in the Lord, as the Bible says, right? And we were looking down onto a wedding rehearsal taking place in an inner courtyard at the ground level. Everything looked white except a curved trail of colored rose petals that ran from the left of the courtyard up to the altar. And there was no minister at the altar. Well, I think that's because they are not living the crucified life. Many of them are living pretty high off the hog, if you know what I mean. So this false wedding rehearsal is very deceptive. It even appeared white to me, except that I recognized it as being on the ground of the earthly things. And I respected what the Word has to say about those who dwell on the earth and mind earthly things. Yes. So this wedding rehearsal is at the ground level because it is for those who dwell on the earth and not in heavenly places in Christ. It is a deception that much of the church has bought into. Back to the Revelation, there was also a white tent gazebo where a harlot was reclining under a green lawn chair with a giant squirrel. A squirrel is, of course, a beast that digs in the earth and stores up its treasures like the talent there in the earth, right? So this beast represents the carnal nature of the harlot, loving the world and the things of the world. The white is deceptive, for she is not pure. And we can see and know by experience that the harlot falsely claims to be the bride of Christ in all the churches, just about. They all claim that that's who the bride is. No, that's very false, and all the types and shadows and scriptures prove that. Okay, so back to the Revelation. My mom, that I believe represents the true church, and I believe representing the bride, saw a white staircase that extended towards heaven in the center of the courtyard, but did not touch the ground. Okay, So it is heavenly and may not be ascended without faith and the resulting help that comes from heaven, right? So, I mean, nobody can ordain any elders but the Lord. Even if he uses men to do it, he is the one that ordains them. So we wanted to go up the staircase in order to see more clearly from a better vantage point during this rehearsal. And yes, a heavenly vantage point, which only those with the word have, right? We had to go down to the second floor balcony, which I'm going to say is spiritual death to self, and it has to come first, right? In order to go up to the top landing of the staircase. In other words, resurrection life. Everybody's got to go through death, burial, and resurrection, which they receive by faith at baptism. They got to go through that. And they are not qualified if they don't. So when we were halfway up the staircase, I noticed that my son, Elijah, was a three-month-old baby in my right arm. I believe this speaks of the man-child is born from the bride body. This is true. The man-child will be taken from the bride body in the midst of the larger church body. So there's two bodies out there. The bride is a small body in the midst of a larger body, the church. And I noticed five women in white dresses who were following my mom and me up the staircase. So the corporate body of the five wise virgins who kept enough oil for their lamps and dwell in the heavenlies and not on the earth, we'll see through this false move of Satan to deceive and blind the eyes of those who dwell on the earth, who mind earthly things and have not separated themselves to seek after the kingdom of God. So when we reached the top landing, the women sat down on the stairs to wait with us, and a purple sponge dripping with water appeared in my hand, and I washed Elijah with it. So the man-child has now been washed with the pure water of the Word, right? And as I was looking through a baby bag for a blue outfit to put on Elijah, representing heavenly works, the sponge fell out of my hand over the stair railing and hit the harlot's left foot. You can't make this stuff up, folks. The pure word will judge the harlot's leftist walk. All I could see was her left leg from the knee down. She had on a green sequined gown split up the mid thigh with a green 3.5-inch high heel pump on her foot. So green, of course, represents natural, not spiritual. And also, she wants to appear larger than she is, and she is a little risque, I believe. Anyway, when the sponge hit her foot and shoe, the giant squirrel crawled over her. I believe this means took authority over her, the beastly part of her, right? And started to dig a hole next to her foot outside the tent. Gazebo, and bury a large acorn out of its mouth there. Well, I believe the sponge brings the royal water. It was a purple sponge, right? From heaven, the seed of the kingdom, and it is useless to the harlot who walks with the squirrel beast on the left, who buries his treasures in the earth. That's her carnal man. And you can tell them that they mind earthly things, right? So the beast in her only valued the seed that comes from earth out of the beast's mouth, the acorn, right? After this, I saw a very fat, in other words, fleshly, false bridegroom dressed in a white tuxedo with a yellow rose on his lapel. His hair was very short, representing lack of submission, and dyed blonde, fake sonship, S-U-N, sonship, with a blonde beard, stubble growth on his face. It was a transsexual who looked just like Chaz Bono, Sonny and Cher's daughter, Chastity, who became a man. Well, let me say that the real bridegroom is not at all confused about who and what he is. He is all male, and some sows the seed of the kingdom to bring forth his fruit. He also had five women wearing white dresses hanging on him in worship and awe. So, of course, the bride and mom had the five women too, but they seemed to be positive. So they're worshiping this perverted man. One behind him and two on each arm. I believe this represents the five foolish virgins, since we already talked about the five wise virgins, right? He had a big smile on his face as he paraded around showing off these women. This is when I woke up. It seems that these two events will be happening simultaneously. In other words, the true and the false. The world and apostate Christianity will only see the false wedding rehearsal happening, because that's what they have eyes for, right? They won't see the true man-child ministry when it is anointed to go forth. And I asked the Father to give me some verses for this dream, and I opened my Bible, and my finger was on Matthew 1 and 20. But as he thought on these things, lo, the Lord's anger appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, David's son, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for what is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. So Mary believed God that she would bear the fruit of Jesus, and it was fulfilled. The true man-child who sows the true seed of the Word, born of the Virgin, who has known no seed or word of man, right? That's why they're spiritual virgins, right? The second verse I got was 2 Corinthians 11 and 1. Would that you could bear with me in a little foolishness, but you indeed bear with me, for I am zealous over you with a zeal of God, for I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a pure virgin to the Christ. Of course, this second example was not a pure virgin to Christ. I went on to read down through 14, and no marvel, for the very Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. So there are many who claim to be the man-child, the woman, or the bride of our day, and they are deceived by Satan. In other words, once you feel you've arrived, there's not much more to do, right? However, we're constantly striving to bear our cross on this earth, till Jesus is manifested in us. And Philippians 3 and 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly." In other words, the lusts of the flesh, right? This was represented by the very fat, false bridegroom in the man-child. Okay, so, "And their glory is their shame, who mind earthly things, for our citizenship is in heavens, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," represented by the true corporate body of the bride and man-child, along with the wise virgins who are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and whose job it is, by the way, according to the marriage ceremony of that day, to escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home, which we know is in heaven. Verse 21, "Who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all to himself." All right, God bless you, saints. Went a little over again, but that's okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. Hope this helped you. And we'll do this again sometime. Bye-bye.